Everybody for being here today. I do. I thank everybody. There's people that's been here since the very beginning. The very beginning. And I mean, we was over there in the gymnasium over there in Smith Grove. Was it Smith Grove? Is that it, Steve? Smith Grove. No heat, no air. And man, it would be hot and it would be cold and it was noisy. I mean, that place echoed. It was horrible. But the Lord would meet with us every once in a while, and I'm telling you, it was well worth it, didn't it? And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the people that was here on day one, and I thank everybody that's here today. That's right. I won't take nobody for granted. I was just sitting in this congregation thinking, Zach, I was looking across the people, and I don't try to number people. I don't want to do that because I just see, you know, it's not a good thing to try to, you know, deal with the crowd. But if we can get a hold of the Christ, that's what we need. But as I was looking across this beautiful crowd this morning, I was thinking, one person is more than I deserve. Right. One person in this congregation is more than I deserve. God's so good to me. Yeah, God's good to us, church. I'm telling you that. And so I want to thank God for being so good to us. I want to tell you I thank God that you're here. And Matthew chapter 9, we'll start reading in verse. We'll only read a few verses. We'll read verse 10 and then we'll kind of skip through here and get some other verses. But verse 10 of Matthew 9 says, "And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But Jesus heard that and said unto them, They that be whole," I want you to listen to what Jesus said. "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Isn't that good? Eric, if you will, pray for us, please. Thank you, sir. We see that Jesus in our passage here is sitting in a house. Is that so? Jesus is in a house sitting down about to have some meat. And for some reason, people confuse that with Jesus being in a beer joint. I don't know why people get so messed up on the scriptures, but for some reason, don't misunderstand me, please. Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. I want to thank God for that. But for some reason, this old world has to confuse that with Jesus is sitting around in some juke joint somewhere, some beer joint. I want you to understand the Bible says that he was in a house. He wasn't in a beer joint. Here's what the world tries to say, Miss Holly. We ought to kind of, and even religion, even the churches today are saying it. We need to get out there and mix and mingle with the world. And I hear Christians say that they can go down there to the nightclubs and they can go into the beer joints and they can sit on the bar stools and they can talk to them people about Jesus. And then they want to turn around and say, well, Jesus did it. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't nowhere in your Bible. Hey man, that ain't nowhere in your Bible. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus had done, mama. He went out in them streets, up and down them roads, and he began to tell people about being born again. And he was healing the sick and giving the blind their sight, and he was healing the deaf. And those publicans and those sinners had heard about all the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and they'd heard of all the wonderful works of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went in his house to sit down and eat, and all those publicans and sinners that had been hearing about all those great things came and sat down in this house with Jesus to have supper. Isn't that amazing? And so here's a religious crowd, and they look at the disciples, and they go, "How come your master? How come this Jesus wants to sit down and eat with publicans and sinners?" He didn't go to a beer joint. He went to somebody's house. Thank God he went to somebody's house, and you know what? The sinners was welcome to come in and gather around. And that's just the way I feel about it, man. I'm glad, thank God, to be in his house. And when we come to his house, I want you to understand, sinners are more than welcome to come down to the house of God. Hey, man, what a good place to have an old drunk. What a good place, thank God, for an old junkie to find himself down at the house of God. Let us, thank God, as the children of God, embrace them with arms of love and welcome them, and thank God that they're here. What a better place on planet Earth for them to be than the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. This is a place that welcomes sinners. Amen. For some reason, the world gets mixed up. Religion gets mixed up on that. He was at this house because of the works that he had been doing, and he sat down to have a bite to eat. Been out there doing the great works of Jesus Christ, and the people wanted to kindly see what he was about. The publicans and sinners began to hear of all this stuff. Jesus sat down to eat, and the sinners came and sat with him. Sometimes I can't help it, but when I read stuff pops in my mind. And the questions, first of all, is for me. How about that? You know, when you sit down and read them, questions pop in your mind. The Lord wants you to understand the answer to that question. Number one, I wonder when's the last time a sinner or woman come sit down at the table with me and you. I wonder when's the last time me and you had enough God about us. Enough mercy and enough grace that a sinner or woman come sit at our table and fellowship with us and see what was going on and find out about this Jesus. Boy, I'm telling you, it's good when people want to inquire of the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. There's a time in my life, ladies and gentlemen, I like what Jesus said to this religious crowd. He looked at them and said, let me tell y'all something, and it's a problem that y'all have. He said, the people that are sick are the ones that need a physician. And he's trying to say, these people are sick. They have a disease. They're messed up. There's something wrong with their soul. And I have to deal with the people that's got this sin problem. And it would have done the Pharisees good to realize that they were no better and no different than the publicans and sinners that were sitting around Jesus. But Jesus said, they that behold need not a physician, but the sick people need a physician. There was a time in my life whereas I wasn't sick of my sin either. You understand that? These Pharisees never did get sick of their sin. Do you know, if you would have come up to me, there was a time in my life, if you would have come up to me and you would have got to talking to me about being sick and needing a physician and, boy, you need to go see the doctor and you need to get that thing taken care of. You believe there's a time in my life where I would have looked at you and thought, man, what's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? There ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm fine and I'm dandy. What are you talking about? I'm having fun. Man, this sin's a pleasure. I'm enjoying the pleasures of sin. What are you talking about? I'm sick. But I'm telling you, friend, happy day. Thank God. When the law of God was preached and I had to see myself as God did, and I saw myself sick and I needed a physician, I needed Jesus to heal my soul. Amen. Thank God for that day. You know, I didn't get sick of my condition, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't see my sickness until I saw the law of God.
Amen.
Man, I didn't see how sick I was until the law of God was. That's my schoolmaster, ladies and gentlemen. It was the law of God, hallelujah, that arrested my soul. It was the word of God being preached in a demonstration of power where it arrested my soul and drug me before a holy God. And there I stood condemned, like the songwriter said. There I stood trembling at the law that I spurned, realizing I transgressed against the holy God. There I was, damned and doomed, needing God to save me. That's what the law did for me.
Amen.
Man, thank God, boy, about that time when all hope was lost. Grace, thank God, stepped up in that courtroom and Jesus said, I died for him. I took his place. I set him free. I went to jail so that he could be made free. Thank God for it, church. Let me remind you that sin is not just sin, okay? Sin ain't just sin. Boy, it's amazing how we kind of brush sin under the rug and make light of it. But the stupid idea that we have that it's just a little white lie. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a little white lie that you tell.
That white lie is wicked. That white lie is crooked. That white lie is sinful. That white lie is proof and evidence that you're sick in your soul. I'm telling you, if you can label a sin as a small sin or just a white lie, you understand me today. You're so sick in your soul, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get that thing right. If you don't change your heart and your mentality toward God. I say change your mind, because friend, you better repent. Better repent of this stuff. Lord God, help us. You know what? One of the stupidest things, and you hear a lot of so-called mature people maybe say it. You know, they're great now that grandma and grandpa's got a little age on them. I want to say maybe they got maybe a little more seasoned or grace or whatever it is about them. Maybe a little more mercy. Maybe a little more long-suffering. I don't know, but I'm glad, thank God, that I didn't have much of it when my kids was growing up. I'm glad that God gave me what I needed at the time in my life to raise my children. And to be strong in the Lord and to be firm and to do what we said we was going to do. But now that I'm old, I find compassion where I probably shouldn't find compassion. When I see a little kid have to go back to the bedroom and how it just grieves me, it hurts. And then I want to take their place. And it's not fun. I don't like it. But here's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say sometimes grandma and grandpa say, well, everybody does it. I'll tell you something, that's not an excuse for sin. Everybody doing it is not an excuse for sin. I mean, man, because your grandson or your grandchild or this little kid or that little kid, somebody you know, somebody you love is getting involved in, listen, friend, sin is not just a little thing that we sweep under the rug. It's not just something that's excused because everybody else is doing it. We're to strive to be holy and be like Jesus.
Hey.
I don't want to upset you too much. We've made so light of sin, and it's come out of our pulpits. Mom, I can remember as a boy. God forbid I say anything, just be a little ignorant country boy of me, and I'm a nobody. You know, I'm just a nobody. I'll be called jealous. I'll be called non-compassion. I'll be called every stupid thing in the world, and that's fine. That's fine. Amen, that's fine. But I can remember as a little boy, I sat and watched it with my own eyes, Miss Holly, how America was crazy over, as a whole, was crazy over Billy Graham. And I can remember as a little boy sitting in there below Linda's when we lived in that house, Mama. I can remember watching Billy Graham on TV say it was okay to socially drink. I remember that when I was a kid. Let me tell you something, I don't care if Billy Graham said it, the Pope said it, your favorite preacher said it, it's wrong to drink. It's wrong to drink. It ain't never right to drink, whether it's social or unsocial.
Amen. Right, preacher.
Tell you, friend, I don't even want to smell the stupid stuff. The Bible said for me as a preacher to not even look upon it. You hear me? The Bible commands me as a child of God not to even look upon it in its glass. Sure. It's not right. Sin is wicked. You want to know why people can say stuff like that? You want to know why sin can be swept under the rug? You want to know why sin can be made light of? Because there's a sickness in the soul of man. There's a sickness down there where he don't see the nasty, filthy, the sickening side of sin as it really is. It's a shame before holy God.
Hey.
Sin, friend, is sickness in our soul. You have to understand the reason I say like what I say is because sin is why Jesus went to that cross.
Right.
Jesus went to the cross for the white lies.
Yeah.
Jesus went to the cross for the everybody's doing it. Jesus had to die on that cross for the social drinks and the social lifestyles. I'm telling you, that's the thing that Jesus went to the cross for. Listen to what your Bible says. He that knew no sin was made sin for us. I mean, on that cross, friend, he became sin. You say, what is that? What is sin? I'm telling you, it's sodomy. It's drunkenness. It's dope. It's everything that's against God. Jesus on that cross had to be ripped apart from God Almighty. And he became that sin. And knew no sin. Why? That me and you couldn't justify it. so that you and I can be made the righteousness of God in Him. God, help us to not make light of sin. I came to tell you this morning that lying is a sin. I don't care what color it is. I came to tell you this morning cheating is a sin. I don't care what fashion it is. Oh, I know we from the country and we work hard and we smash our fingers and cut our hands. But can I tell y'all something this morning? Cussing is a sin and it's not okay. I don't care if it's 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 letters. I'm telling you, friend, if it doesn't glorify God, if it doesn't magnify His name, I'm telling you, if it's vain conversation, cussing is sin, friend.
Hey.
Yes. Drinking is sin. Covetousness is sin. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. There's sins of omission. There's sins of commission. I'm telling you, one's just as bad as the other. And I'm here to tell you that if you break just one of God's laws, and you deserve this morning, are you listening? If you break one of God's laws, you deserve to be in hell today. If you break just one of God's laws, and if you break one, you broke them all, friend. But if you break one, you deserve to be in hell today. God can put us all in hell outside of His blood. And be just in doing so. Don't break the laws of God. How can I not? You can't help it, friend. That's why we gotta have Jesus. That's right. That's why He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to do away with the law. This generation is doing away with the law. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know where they get their doctrine or what. I don't know where they get that stuff from. Jesus never came to do away with the law. It's still the schoolmaster. Ladies and gentlemen, He came to fulfill that law, and thank God He did. And through Him, we're more than conquerors. Without the shed blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your soul, listen, ladies and gentlemen, hell's exactly where you're going to end up. Because your soul is sick. You understand, Jesus said, they that behold need not a physician, but the sick. I want you to understand this morning that sin has made the soul of man sick. And without the blood of Jesus being applied to your soul, I want to remind you again today, because there's people sitting in this congregation and you're lost, and I don't want you to be comfortable. I don't want you to come to church and feel at ease. I don't want you to go home and feel at ease. I don't want you to go through life and everything just work out just smoothly. I want life to be rough on you. I want you to come here and be uncomfortable. I want you to lay down the night on your bed and not be able to sleep. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because I want to see you washed in the blood. I want your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to see God do whatever it takes, and I make you one of His own.
Hey.
Serious business, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a lighthearted matter. It's the most serious thing that you'll ever deal with in this life. It's the most serious thing you'll ever deal with in a life to come. Getting saved does not mean that life is going to be a bed of roses. Are you listening? All because you get born again does not mean the bills ain't going to continue to flow and hardships ain't going to continue to land. Being born again does not mean that trouble ain't going to come your way. The Bible says man is born a woman for a few days and full of trouble. I tell you, man, you're going to face troubles all the days of your life. Thank God through Jesus Christ we can overcome these things, friend. Through the glorious Godhead, I'm strengthened. Through God the Father, I draw strength. Through the Son of God, I draw strength. Through the Holy Ghost, I can draw strength. Through the Godhead, I'm comforted. Through the Godhead, I'm led and guided in this old world. Through the Godhead, I'm taught and instructed in the words of wisdom, thank God. Through the Godhead, I'm loved. Can I be honest with you? Through the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, I'm never left alone. I don't have to go it alone. That's the difference maker. You hear me? Ladies and gentlemen, we have to go through things in this old world. Let me ask you a question. I don't even want to bring this kind of stuff up. I really don't, because it's what you can expect. You understand what I'm saying? You kind of expect what I'm fixing to say. You don't expect any better. Let me ask you, as a child of God, as somebody that wants to see this old world, you know, just honor God, How many of you is pleased in what you're seeing in your political world this week, huh? How many of you satisfied? How many of you went to bed Friday night going, man, I'm glad to see what's going to take a hold of America. I'm glad to see what's on these platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, I went to bed disheartened. I went to bed sick in my stomach. I went to bed with a freezing down in my soul. I went to bed wondering why can't this nation put something better on the platform than what we've got. I'm telling you, church, sometimes I go, God, is this what America deserves? God, are we getting what we deserve? You know what the number one thing in the world is today? You know what America's asking for out of everything? They're asking for an economy. They want money. America wants prosperity. They don't care if you rape somebody. They don't care if you molest somebody. If you can fill their bank account up, you can get by with murder, friend.
You're right, preacher.
God help us get back to the altar. He said, if my people which were called by my name would humble themselves and pray, if we would turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God would hear our prayers. I'm telling you, God would heal our land. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if we got where we ought to be with God as the believers, as the church, as the children of God, God would see this thing through. I'm telling you, we wouldn't have to face some of the junk that we face and deal with some of the stupid junk that we have to deal with. But we're going to have to fight this stuff all the way home. But the difference, Miss Holly, is this. We don't have to fight it alone. Thank God we do have this blessed hope. Thank God we have Jesus. He'll be right there with us all the way, and you never, never, never have to be alone. Amen. He'll comfort you all the way.
Yes.
That's why we don't have to sit around and take pills. Boy, if anybody should have took a pill, and I ain't trying to justify it, please let me say what I got to say. If anybody should have took a pill, it's Apostle Paul. Paul said, look, this stuff's coming at me on their side. We preached about it a month ago. Paul said, I'm perplexed. All this stuff's coming to me on every side. Paul said, ain't none of them going to get me down. He said, I'll tell you what it is, just light affliction. Hey, boys, I'm telling you, he got the seal over in the glory world. He had his eyes on Jesus, and this whole world was strangely dim. I'm telling you, bud, he lost sight of this stuff, and he was holding on to the eternal. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about going all the way with Jesus, amen, by your side. Amen. Let come what may, ladies and gentlemen, let come what may. As a child of God, we come out of this thing on top. Hallelujah. We're coming out on top. Well, we have a Heavenly Father that watches over His children. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be comforted. We're going to be led. We're going to be loved. We're going to never be left alone. I can tell you three reasons, usually, Steve, why most folks ain't real happy. Boy, I tell you, it don't take long to talk to people. Figure out they're just not happy. People just ain't happy. Can I tell you why most people ain't happy? Steve, it ain't real deep. They just ain't saved. That's right, just ain't saved. So, preacher, what does that mean? Just ain't no joy within. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes on the surface, on the outside and on the inside, I get madder than 9 wet hands. Sure I do. I'm a human being just like you and everybody else. Boy, we all get frustrated. We all get mad. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when I lay down at night, that peace is still there. Man, through it all. Boy, I can hear things and I can see things. And man, you read the newspaper, you turn the radio on. I'm telling you, blood pressure goes sky high. I mean, you begin to boil. I tell you what, man, you turn that thing off. It don't take long to realize that the God of all comfort is sitting right there with you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. They're lost, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you how you can put a little smile on your face. Put a smile on your heart. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaking. You know what I believe, Eric? I believe all this out here is a reflection of what's going on in there. I believe this out here is that sometimes the more we get this thing out here fixed up, the uglier this thing in here gets. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when this thing gets fixed up, everything else, hey, takes away that old darkness and puts some sunshine in your life.
Sure he will. Them songs we sung this morning, boy, they was right on track. Amen. I just bear witness for that in my spirit, in my soul. I'm telling you, man, I can't sing worth a lick, but there's a song down in my soul. And boy, while them songs is being sung, my soul is saying, amen. Glory to God. Yes, Lord, that's true. Boy, I like it. I like it. Amen. I like them songs. Boy, I like them songs, amen. I like them songs about Jesus. I like them songs about God. I like them songs about the Lord. I like them songs about Calvary. I like the songs about the blood. You can have the me's. Give me him, amen. Boy, if we get to him, we'll be alright. I like what the old preacher said. Most of these songs today ain't nothing but about you. That makes them a bunch of urinals. But them songs about him, that's them blessed old hymns. I said, man, give me them hymns. I like the hymns. I like to hear about Jesus. I like to sing about Jesus. I like to talk about Jesus. When I pillowed my head last night, I pillowed my head in Matthew 9. I just like to think about the Lord, amen. I like it. Right. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I like to think about the Lord. Amen. Man. Most folks can't get no happiness because they got a profession without a possession. That's right. Religion, that's what them Pharisees had. Son, they could talk about the Lord, but they didn't know him. Oh, thank God. Knowing the Word of God and the God of the Word is two different things, ladies and gentlemen. I need to know the God of that word. You hear me? Well, what else make a man unhappy? Just getting out of the way with God, huh? Getting sideways with the Lord. We call it backslid. I'm telling you, you just get out of fellowship with God as a child of God, you'd be miserable as a dog. I'm just telling you, friend. I mean, to God, I can have a sin in my life, boy, until I get that thing right. I'm a miserable human being. I can't sleep right. I can't live right. I can't treat my wife right. I'm not a good fellow, man. I'm telling you, I don't want anything between me and him. A clean slate, a clean record, good fellowship. I keeps that joy flowing in me, man, that fellowship between him and me. If you're here today without God, I want you to understand something. Are you listening? You're guilty before God. God is not pleased with you. If you're here today and you're lost, God is not satisfied with your life. God is looking at you, and the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. And I'm telling you, every day that you hang on to yourself and your sin, every day that you hang on to your sickness, every day you refuse to go to the doctor's office, Dr. Jesus, I'm telling you, you're telling God the sacrifice was not for you. Wasn't good enough for me. I'll take my life. I don't want that life. I don't want this Jesus to rule over me. He's not pleased with that. You're guilty before God. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be honest. God, the God of all creation, thinks you're filthy and nasty. Are you listening? Because your soul is cursed with sin. And when God looks upon you, friend, he thinks you're filthy and nasty and you stink in his nostrils. I don't know a nice way of saying it, because being lost is not nice. Going to hell ain't pretty. Going to hell ain't pleasant. But I want you to understand the day that's lost, you stink in the nostrils of God. God looks at you and he sees filth and nastiness and trash and condemnation, and you're going to die in this shape and go to hell. God's not pleased with that. You're a displeasure to him. And until you get born again, listen to me, until you get born again, and I love you, God knows I love you. There's not a person in this congregation, the Sunday school teacher said it, there's not a person in this congregation, I can't look you in the eyes and tell you that I love you.
I love this congregation. I love this people. I love everybody sitting in here. I even love some that's been by that ain't even here. I'm telling you, man, my heart yearns and misses on my, but I want you to understand something today. If you're lost without God, I hope your life is miserable. I hope until you meet God, nothing goes right. I hope your life's a wreck. I hope it's a wreck. I hope everything goes wrong until you get born again. God help us to get out of this lukewarm, this easy, I'm okay stage. Let me tell you something. You're not okay. You're not okay in this life. And you're not okay in the life to come. You're not okay to God. God is going to cast you one of these days into the bottomless pit. Never think twice. If you reject His darling Son, I said, God, Jesus is going to command that they cast you into that bottomless pit. Listen to what your Bible says. This is what I'm talking about. The sick people are who needs a physician. You understand? When's the last time you thought about having a checkup? Huh? When's the last time you thought about going in for a physical? When's the last time you thought about going in for an exam? Let me tell you what we're having this morning. We're having an exam. This is a glorified MRI. This is a good x-ray. We want to see inside of ourselves. We want to see what's really going on. And I'm telling you, without Jesus Christ, there's a sickness, there's a disease eating at your soul. And it's not okay. The Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen, there is a generation that's peering in their own eyes. Yet their filthiness has not been washed away. Isn't that something? Is that where we're at today? I'm telling you, we're living in a generation. Everybody thinks that what they're doing is okay and people can justify it. I don't care if you're in a charismatic church, you're in the Baptist church, people's justified their little sins. They got their little favorite things. I'm telling you, they got their cliques and their clans. They've got everything in the world going on. While all along, God, the Spirit of God is being grieved and quenched and God has withdrawn Himself. You can't find an ounce full of God in the average church today. Why, friend? Because we give in to this whole flesh and catered. And look, we've even got to the point where we can compare ourselves to other people. God help us. Compare ourselves to somebody else. I mean, you sit down for half a second. If you can hold in the regurgitation and watch Fox News for 5 minutes and see if they're not just comparing this one to that one and that one to this one. It's sickening, friend. It's sickening. I said the other night, before them girls run their mouth a whole lot about Donald Trump on their conservative news station, Fox, they ought to cover more than 30% of their body, huh, and respect their own body, give a little honor to their own body. If they want a man to respect them, if they want a man to treat them like they're a lady, they ought to dress like a lady, look like a lady, and act like a lady. That's got to maybe go home and cook her husband a meal and make up a bed or something. Amen.
Amen.
It's good.
Amen.
It's good. Sit on there and listen. It's amazing how we can run our mouth about this guy or that guy there when we're all just as filthy and rotten ourselves about certain things, but we've justified our little pet sins and we've got to thinking. Listen, Jesus said the sick need a doctor. They need a doctor, friend. You say, what makes you sick? Sin makes you sick. I'd venture to say, yeah, we've heard some pretty awful things this week, but I'd venture to say, there ain't a whole lot of people in America given the opportunity wouldn't say or even do the same thing that these perverts are even talking about.
You're right, preacher.
You know what I care about? Michael, I don't know if it's even possible. He might be a reprobate. But I'd like to see these old candidates get born again.
Hey.
I'd like to see them get saved. You know how filthy I was before God saved me. You know how filthy I talked. You know some of the stupid stuff I said. Friend, these dudes can't hold a candle to me. I was a filthy mouth heathen, you hear me? And the blood of Jesus cleansed me and washed me and gave me a new vocabulary, thank God, and a new way to talk, and a new way to look at things, a new way to treat people, a new way to live life, friend. And it takes Jesus Christ. Right. White House don't change people. Not for the glory of God. Jesus Christ changes people.
Hey.
For the glory of God. Man, ain't nothing in this world that can make a vile sinner clean but the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we need today, ladies and gentlemen. We need people to get born again. We need people to see their sin-sick condition. We need them to go see Dr. Jesus. If we ever get to see ourselves as God does, friend, it'll help us a whole bunch. It'll help us. Well, seems like any more folks are more interested at what conditions others are in more than they are themselves. I want you to understand this morning that I need you to be concerned if you're here today lost, especially if you're lost. I need you to take a real inventory, a real concern, a real good look at yourself. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about the politicians. Don't worry about the rest of the world. You better start looking at just a little self-examination this morning. Better get to checking yourself and saying, God, what do I need? You know what this is? Steve, you know why we want to look at other people? And I'm pretty good at it. But you know why we want to look at other people? Because sometimes we get to thinking that we're okay. The reason we can say what we say about this one or that one, and the reason we can get on TV and blast these people and blast those people, the reason we get on Facebook or social media and just have a heyday running down people, Miss Ebbs, because we think we're okay. You know what helps me keep my mouth shut a lot of times? I know me. I know what I am. I know if God was to take his hand off of me, I know what I was before God saved me, and I know if God was to withdraw, I know what foul, wretched sucker I could be. Oh, filthy friend. If it wasn't for the grace of God. Yes, they make you sick. I'm going to tell you they need Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you who needs Jesus Christ worse than they do, you do. That's right. We sitting in this congregation today, there's some that's saved, there's some that's lost. We need the Lord Jesus Christ worse than anybody in this world. That's right. We got families. We've got friends. We got work companions. We're living in a strange day, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that most people are, because, you know, they're out there winning 25 and 30 people a Saturday. I don't know how they do it. I'm trying to do it, Mr. Edgman. I can't even get people to answer the door. They sit in the living room and look at me. Well, I'm knocking on the door. They look at me like I'm some kind of a Mormon or something.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to cram nothing. I just want to invite them to the house of God. I'm not trying to catch them at a vulnerable moment and make them say something that, you know, one of these days they'll hide from me at the grocery store because I got them to repeat something on their front porch. Catch them at a weak moment or something. Just trying to invite them to the house of God. Concerned about their soul. You know what thinking that we're okay is all about? It's just a snare of Satan. There's something that will Satan will put in your path, and he will catch you up and bind you in this little trap, and you forget all about your condition, you forget all about your need, you forget all about where you're at with God and where you are for eternity. Forget all about that, and we start looking at what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is saying, and you got people that goes, well, everybody does it, hey, it doesn't make it right. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's never right to do wrong. Never right to do wrong to do right. It's just always right to do right. Amen. It's always right to obey God. Steve, you know why I thought for years that I was okay? Because it was the devil that pulled the wool over my eyes. That's right. It was him that was deceiving me. It was him that was causing me to be delusional. Now, I don't want to get way off in this. I'm not very smart, but every once in a while I can get a little taste of something. But I thought during that tribulation period, sir, when the Lord's going to send that strong delusion to make people believe a lie, the Lord don't have a whole lot of work cut out for him for that little job. That's just going to be a small task for the Lord Jesus Christ because, man, we're so delusional today. It's not going to take a whole lot during that period for people to latch on to that lie. People so delusional. What is that delusion? I'm okay. I'm fine.
I'm okay. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we've got this thing where you can live in such a way, man, they'll justify everything in the world. And listen, if you're not sure about it, you can run down there to your average Baptist church, and that little idiot in the pulpit down there, he'll whitewash you. If you're not happy with your salvation, Miss Stephanie, he'll stand you up down there and let everybody know that you're saved. I'm not doing that for you or nobody else, and that's my wife. I'm telling you, friend, hey, listen, your salvation is between you and God. I don't pronounce people saved. I'm not pronouncing people saved. I'm not whitewashing nobody. You settle that up with God, friend. You and him, that's y'all's business. And come down here and expect me to prop you up. Hey, God, I'm not doing that. Not for salvation. Man, you get that settled between you and the Lord and let that blessed assurance rest in your soul. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you who I need assurance about. I need assurance about David. That's right. I need assurance in me. And I have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. I do have that blessed assurance. Thank God. I like what old Asma said. He said if he died, he's a saved. And if he died and God put him in hell, he'd laugh till Jesus came and got him out. That's how saved he is. Okay, God, it's over. Your joke was good. It's over. Come get me now. That's pretty saved, friend. That's pretty saved. I like that. Man knows he's saved. I like that. Well, I see it over and over and over. Preachers telling people, oh, you're saved. Listen, friend, you need to take care of that with God. I don't want to deal with doubt today. But let me tell you something. You need to look that doubt in the eyes. Sure, you do. You need to face that doubt. You need to face that doubt just like it's a pain in your life. Sure, you need to face that doubt and deal with God on it and say, why is this here? Isn't greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? I mean, can't God take care of all that? Sure he can. Sure he can. Tell you, man, people's running around all messed up in the head because they're messed up in the soul. And yeah, we'll see that. Lord have mercy. We may not get to it this morning, but we'll see it. You know why we get to go to heaven, congregation? It's not because we're good. It's just because he's good.
Sure.
I'm telling you, if you was to put a microscope on my life, and I try to live above reproach, I try to live clean, I try to live right, I try not to, have any open sin in my life. I mean, I got a wife and a daughter-in-law, and I still, you know, can get by without drinking. I raised three kids and did it sober. Hey, man, teenagers all at the same time. And God gives more grace, ladies and gentlemen. You can do this stuff through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, hey, man, people justify their old wickedness and sin. Folks, we get to go to heaven because God's good. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as much as I can make myself look good, I can let my wife stand up and in 5 minutes she'll have you convinced otherwise and rightly so. You should have said amen right there, baby. This religious crowd of that day tried to cause problems and accuse Jesus of being a friend to sinners. So what? To this foolishness, Jesus said, they that are whole need no physician, but they that are sick. He didn't even deal a whole lot with that stupidity. He just told them the truth. He's not talking about a physical sickness, but rather he's talking about that old spiritual, that soul sickness. And that's what you have today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're lost. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to understand that you need Jesus. He's the only one that can cure you. He's the only one that can take care of that sin disease. We know that he came to heal our souls. He came to heal our diseases. We know that he came to heal our broken hearts. He came to heal those that are of a corrupt mind. He came to heal those whose soul is tainted by sin. You understand that I'm saying that if you're not saved today, that you're spiritually sick. I'll try to give this illustration. I'm going to try to hurry. Zach can remember this very well and my wife, but we was playing American Legion baseball. The boys were. And we was playing a little team. They weren't that good, and they had a little pitcher. He might could throw it 70 miles an hour. Probably, you know, if he throwed it into a window, probably couldn't break the glass. And old boy was standing up there at the plate on our team, and whoppy, took one off the head. And that never bothered me. I just, you know, far enough back country that, you know, I always thought, man, throw one at their head. They act stupid. Let's play a little chin music. Until I seen that boy getting hit in the head. Well, he got hit in the head, and nobody really thought nothing about it, so he run down there.
And he ran down there to first base, and we went through that inning, and then we came, you know, got out, we went out in the field, and he played three outs out there in the field, and then he come back, and the coach called them all together, come on boys, come on, we're going to hit, he's going to rally his boys to hit some balls. And while he's got his team over in the huddle trying to rally them up a little bit, this old boy falls out, and he falls out over there, and begins to have a seizure, the boy got hit in the head. And I mean, it was spooky, man. His mom and daddy, they started going crazy. His mama jumped that fence. His daddy's a big old boy. And I said, hey, man, he's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I thought his daddy was going to hyperventilate. I said, he's going to be okay, man. It'll be all right. And I'm telling you, that seizure kept going on and on. And I began to have thoughts. I said, man, it may not be all right. This old boy might die. And I thought, man, I'm telling this daddy, I'm trying to comfort this daddy and talk to him and keep him, you know, together. And I'm going, man, this boy, might, if he don't die, he might have brain problems. Finally, man, I'm telling you, it was bad, wasn't it? And I'm telling you, I said, I don't never want to see another kid get hit in the head. The ribs, yeah, that'd be fine until one gets punctured in the lungs, but until then, yeah, the ribs is fine. That's stupid, you're going to get drilled in the ribs. His mama said over there, sir, and cussed that pitcher out. She said over there, she cussed him, she called him every filthy name you can imagine, that little pitcher. That boy didn't mean to do that. She told him, she said, I'll kill you. That's what she said. She said, I'll kill you. Called him every filthy name in the book. Ended up having to call ambulance. Ambulance kind of got into the hospital. Kept having him seizures. Couldn't figure out why. They threw him in that MRI and it's going to do a brain scan. They found tumors all in his brain. The doctor said, if it hadn't been for that ball hitting him in the head, he'd probably fell over dead one day. That was a blessing in the sky. He looked at that mom and said, that's a blessing in the sky because that triggered these seizures. And them seizures let us see these tumors in his brain. He just went through 5 brain operations since then. And now he's just living fine, living like a heathen, but he's still alive, just kicking well. But they saved his life. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm just talking about he was going through life because he thought everything was fine. He was running along, y'all. He was just like all the other boys. He was playing ball, doing what they did. He was living his little life, righteous living, doing his thing. One day a tragedy happened in his life, and it revealed the sickness that laid in his head. You know what struck me about it, Miss Stephanie? When that doctor explained the situation to that family, that mama was humbled. She said, oh my. She said, I gotta find that little ball player. She said, I need to apologize. And she was only apologizing because things worked out in her favor now. Not because the right way, but just because, you know, he actually saved her son's life. And I thought, boy, ain't it so much like us? That word of God, that's the prescription, ladies and gentlemen. God may use a little ignorant pharmacist like me to get the word out. But isn't it amazing how people get mad at the prescription that's written? Isn't it amazing that the preacher could, isn't it amazing how mad at Jesus Christ people can get when he starts telling the truth about themselves and he starts revealing to them the sicknesses and the diseases that's in their body? Yeah. I'm telling you, hey, listen, don't wait to some tragedy. Listen to me, that's a physical experience. That's a physical thing. Don't you dare wait in your spirit. And I don't like telling little sad stories. Let's shake that off. I just want you to understand. Don't you dare wait for some spiritual tragedy to happen to your life. Don't wait, for God's sake, for some spiritual tragedy to happen for you to try to run and grab a hold of God. You better come while he's calling. You better come while he's drawing, while the Father draws you, while the Spirit of God leads you. I'm telling you, friend, while the heart is being pricked, you better get to God when he speaks to you.
Hey.
Don't wait. Don't wait till you end up in a hospital bed somewhere. Most of them old experiences ain't worth 2 cents. Hear God. Respond to God when he calls. Look for him while he's near. I know sometimes that preaching is kind of rough. To look at yourself, the examination is kind of ugly. Sure it is. God thinks it's ugly. You ought to think it's ugly. But ladies and gentlemen, it's for our good. I'm so glad, thank God for that blessed night that God drew that line in the sand in my life, just so to speak. And put that mirror, that word of God in my face. Here you are, boy. And let me see just how filthy and sick I was.
I believe a Sunday school teacher said something about it this morning. He said something along the lines of, the commandments of God are not grievous. Yeah. To the child of God, ladies and gentlemen, to a lost person, that stuff kind of cuts you down to the core. But to a child of God, it's like music to your ears. I love it. I'll give you a few verses and we're going to take a break. If you'll just take heed to the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll take heed to the word of God, and let God have his perfect will in your life, then you can be made the righteousness of God through Christ yourself. You understand that? Just obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. Psalms 39:5 says this. This is what your Bible says. Psalms 39:5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. I'm going to quit right here. But the best I can do outside of Jesus Christ is absolutely fail. The best I can do outside of Jesus Christ, is spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's the best I can do. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this myself. You cannot do it yourself. It's going to take Jesus Christ or nothing else. That's it. He's the answer. Jesus said, I am the way. When it comes to ourselves, it's amazing how quick we are to forget things that we do, isn't it? It's amazing. And it's always easy to see everybody else's fault, but our own seems to slip our own attention. Ladies and gentlemen, the best we can do outside of Jesus is filthy rags. It's best. Best. We'll take a break right here and come back after we eat, and I'll try to wrap this thought up out of Matthew 9. But I want you to think about it. And listen, it's hard. It's hard to do what I'm doing. It's hard to take this break. And I try to be mindful of the Lord. I try to listen for the voice of God while I'm even trying to quit. The last thing I want to do is grieve to have a stinking hot dog or a hamburger. That's right. I don't want to grieve. But I don't want you to get past. Listen, we can go over there and we can laugh and we can cut up and have a good time. But listen, friend, God deals with your heart. You better respond to God. There's a sickness in the soul of some of these people around. Some of y'all's got a sickness and it's eating you alive. And I'm telling you, if we don't get this thing fixed, I promise you, you're going to die and go to hell. Boy, wouldn't that be something to die and go to hell from Living Waters Baptist Church? God help us. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures. I don't know how to disconnect. I don't know what to do, Lord. I just trust, God, that you can work this out, God, to do what you need to do in the hearts and lives of men. God, I pray that you'd take this thought, God, and bless it in the life of somebody today. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray, blessed God, that you'd take the food that we're about to eat and bless it to our bodies and help us, God, to continue to be sensitive and obedient to the voice of God. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank y'all for being here.